scripture is actually found in the book of Hebrew, chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of God for the people of God. So as I said, this is a great day. Here's the reason why it's a great day for veterans. All right, so I could have gone to Starbucks this morning, got a 12-ounce coffee for free. After the Santahatchee meal, I can go over to Golden Corral and I get a free meal at Golden Corral today. Let's see, I can go to Chili's and get a free meal. Outback Steakhouse, I get a free Bloomin' Onion. Even though I don't like Bloomin' Onions, I'll still probably get it just because I can. Fats has a special meal. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, so a lot of people do a lot of things to honor veterans. And it's a great thing. But not many people, some people don't really know why with veterans, how long it's been. But you know, today is actually another special day. Today is the 100th year of Veterans Day. 100 years. And actually, what time is it? Okay, it's perfect. It's 11 o'clock. So it is exactly 100 years. Because at 11 a.m. on November the 11th, right after World War I, the United States signed the armistice to end World War I. That's why we celebrate Veterans Day on this day. A lot of other countries do a lot of different things to honor this day because that was such a huge war that we honor it every single day. And as I talk about with veterans, veterans do make a sacrifice. They sit there, and when they do raise their hand, they are saying that they're willing to do what the United States says is needed to be done to go and to protect this country. Back in 2009, I sat there and I made that decision. Not 2009, 1999, I made that decision. I was still in college. I was at Clemson, and meeting the people of ROTC, I decided that I was going to join. I joined the National Guard, and I joined the artillery. And I sat there and I did everything. I went artillery and I thoroughly enjoyed it. When they talk about sacrifices, it's a really big sacrifice, especially when I come to a situation like mine and Heather's. Heather and I got married on June the 12th. Am I right? June 12th? Yeah, okay, making sure. June the 12th, we got married. Yeah, I got a dirty look. All right, so on June the 12th, we got married. We were in Illinois because that's where Heather's from. We flew down the very next morning back here to Greenville, and I had my phone off during this time period. And I turned back on my phone, and my phone got blown up by voicemails. When I answered that phone on June the 13th, I had a call from my sergeant saying, "We're going over." This is my first day of my full day of my marriage, and I got the call saying, "We're going." A month later, I left, and I was actually gone for 15 months of my first marriage. But I promise you, it taught Heather and I a lot of things in our life. It taught us how to communicate, even not being in present with each other. Because prior to that, she was in Illinois. I was here in the United States, or not in the United States. I was here in South Carolina, and we communicated because she was there in school, so we communicated a lot. And we didn't see each other but every couple of months. So long-distance relationship does work out. Don't use that as an excuse, y'all. But at the end, it was a sacrifice that we made. Gone 5 months of training, 10 months overseas, and come back. But it taught us to communicate. Soldiers make a lot of sacrifices. A lot of times sometimes you physically can see the sacrifices of our soldiers. They sit there and you might see them without a leg, without an arm, an eye patch over their eye. You see those sacrifices that they made that's physical. But a lot of times you do not see the sacrifice that they have made mentally. A lot of our soldiers come back, even if they were not in actual combat, they didn't actually have somebody who shot at them every day, they sit there and they come back and they're mentally different. Mentally different. And it changes their whole life. It's not just while you're in service. When you're in the military and you go overseas, you sacrifice the rest of your life because a lot of times you are changed for life. I'm 50% disabled due to PTSD. I have to have medicine to help me sleep. I have to take medicine to help me stay calm. And I promise you, I'm medicated today. You don't want to see me not medicated. No, I'm kidding. So a lot of people wouldn't have known that, you know? The sacrifices that we make, that soldiers make. In the scripture today, he talks about the priests back in the day with Judaism. The priests would go and make a sacrifice every year with some other blood. They use lamb blood, dove, whatever. They use some other blood to make sacrifice to honor God. But then Jesus sits there and comes and he makes one sacrifice to save us all for eternity. One sacrifice. But the thing is, though, with the sacrifices, we get to enjoy, we get the pleasure of having the sacrifice that Jesus gave us. But that doesn't mean that we don't make sacrifices every single day. You do not have to be in the military or do anything like that to make sacrifices every day. Because as long as we as Christians are on this earth, we need to make a sacrifice every single day being on this world with sin. I was in a conversation the other day with somebody and we were talking about people accepting Christ. Sometimes the acceptance of Christ is the easiest decision, easiest part of being a Christian. The hard part is taking the next step and continuing trying to grow each and every day. I've known people say, well, I accepted Christ, I'm good. Well, guess what? If you accept Christ, it doesn't mean you're good until you die. It means you need to make a sacrifice every single day to better your life towards that time, is in the scripture when Jesus comes again and he collects the others who are waiting. You know, I've actually had people tell me that they have paid their dues in the church. They've done their time in the church. Oh, I did that a long time ago. I did this. I taught Sunday school a long time ago. I paid my dues. Now I just want to sit back. I'm sorry. It does not work that way. We as Christians are taught that we are supposed to better Christ every single day. We are to share our wisdom to others. We are to guide them down the road. Last night, I got the honor of meeting my new church. Somebody today, this morning, sat there and said, hey, we're glad you're home. We're glad you'd be back. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but I'm about to leave again. 6 weeks ago, the DS came to me and said, Stephen, I've got an opportunity for you to go back in the pulpit. So starting January 1, I'm going to Salem United Methodist in Salem, South Carolina, and I might have heard banjos as I got up there. I'm not quite sure, but there might have been some banjos playing as I got up there near the mountains. But it's a beautiful church, it's a nice-sized church, and it's one church. But during the question and answer phase, one of them asked me, how do you approach somebody who is a non-Christian? How do you convince them? I'm not the type that just beats down. I'm not that type. I'm the type that tries to show through my actions, through my behavior each and every day, that's how I want them to see Christ. Because you can hammer and hammer and hammer, and sometimes that hammer and hammer and hammering pushes them away. But when they see me and see how I am and how I react to issues and stress in my life, and they see how I'm doing it, then when they go through it again, you know what? They might come to me and say, hey, I see that you can get through this. How are you getting through this? And guess what? They just opened the door for me to sit there and say, well, you know what? I get through this because of Christ. Because He died on the cross for me, and He has given me eternity. He has given me, He's promised me that I will be with Him in heaven. They just opened the door for me. And it's a we will make a sacrifice. Now, there are other countries. You know what? When you're a Christian, you might make that ultimate sacrifice because you are a Christian. There are people today that have to go and hide in basements for church. Because if they're caught, they will be killed. We're fortunate. We really don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about that. But the sacrifices we're going to make is stepping outside of our box and taking Christ to others. And just because you're sitting in this church and you got somebody sitting beside you does not mean that they are a Christian. It doesn't mean that they fully understand and grasp the concepts of Christ. So we need to reach out and help in this church. No matter where you're at, if you're at another church, you need to go and help. There's a lot of experience and a lot of years in this church. You know what? We should have a laundry list of people who are willing to teach our children every Sunday. They should be lining up. We should be lining up and begging to teach our children in this church. Because guess what? This church will not exist until we put and invest in our children of this church, in the youth of this church. That's how we can sustain our churches today. Is we need to put back into our children. That when they get out, because I promise you, when they go to college, a lot of times you see their attendance in church drop. And even after college and they get married, it kind of drops a little bit still. And when they have their family, they start having kids, all of a sudden they're coming back. But if we as a church offer the things that they need and then what people are looking for, then this church can continue to grow. Another question that was asked of me last night during the meet and greet is, how do you reach that demographic of the teenage, of the youth, and the young adults, the ones who aren't maybe newlyweds, things like that? I said, you have got to offer what they want, even if they're not here. It's kind of like in the movie Field of Dreams. In Field of Dreams, what do they say? What's that big key phrase? Somebody tell me, what's the key phrase in that everybody knows? If you build it, they will come. If you offer it, they will come. I remember when the college-age class, I was lucky enough to be a part of the starting the college-age class. One of the things that we said was, we will have that college-age class every Sunday, even if they're not here. There will be somebody present, and I promise you, there were many Sundays where they weren't there. They were gone wherever, but I was still there, or whoever was helping me was still there in case somebody showed up. You've got to offer the programs to bring them in. Because when they come in, you can't sit there and say, oh, no, we're wanting to do this. We're talking about doing this. It's a lot better when they come in, you say, listen, this is what we have. This is the children's programs we have. We have a great children's ministry, a great Sunday school ministry, a youth ministry. And all of this takes the sacrifice of our time. Our time. We will continue making those sacrifices until we die. In the book of James, Pastor Dan just talked about it. Works and faith. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, it gives you the desire to work for Him. It's not a, I thought, you know what, I feel like I need to do this. It's not a need. Jesus Christ is, I want to do it because I love Christ. I want to be like Him. I want to go out and help. I tell you, I miss being overseas. I miss being a soldier. I miss being in the army, helping and making that sacrifice. Coming back home was a huge transition for me. There was a lot of days I wished I was back over there because I loved doing what I do. Stuart loves doing what he does, doesn't he? We love it. If you actually enjoy your job, which that might be 50-50, you might not enjoy your job, but if you enjoy your job, you put your passion into it, don't you? So why not put your passion into Christ and help further His kingdom in this church? Today, we're doing Santahatchee Luncheon, a fundraiser for a great program where we have kids who go out in the freezing cold. I remember the very first year of Santahatchee, it was cold. That's the first time I couldn't get on a roof in the morning because of frost. I'm used to being dead heat of summer when you got up there on the roof first thing in the morning because by 1 o'clock you didn't want to be on that roof because it was so hot. But I remember that first year, we were actually, that roof was covered in frost and we couldn't even get on it because it was too slick. These youth and parents and adults in our church make a sacrifice. Some of them take vacation time. They take time off from work to come be with their kids or come help somebody make their home better. That's the sacrifices that they're making. Today we're doing a luncheon. I promise you, today's a perfect day for soup and chili. It's cold out there. I hope that each and every one of y'all go over and support. And you know, if you don't like soup, you don't like chili, at least go over and give. Give to them to support that ministry, to support their sacrifice. But at the same time, the thing that I want y'all to take away from today is what sacrifices are you making in your life today for Christ? And if you can't make... If you're not able to say anything, you need to deeply reflect on that. Because if you truly follow Christ, you will be doing something for Him. You will be sacrificing your time. You will be sacrificing your money each day for Him. So what are you doing for Christ? What are you doing in this church to help this church? And financial is not the only thing that you can do to help. There's a lot of things that you can do. There's no such thing as I've paid my dues as you're on earth. It's when you die. It's when that moment is and you close your eyes and your heart stops beating, you have paid your dues, you've done everything up to that point. So when you transition right over into the heaven that Jesus created for us when He died on the cross for us. That's your goal. That's what you're working towards. Because I promise you, I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for it. What are you doing? What sacrifices are you making? It's not just veterans and soldiers who make sacrifices. We as Christians will make a sacrifice in our life. Give me bless the food. Go ahead. All right, I'm gonna close in prayer, but at the same time, I'm also gonna go ahead and bless the food. And then I believe we got one more song. Is that right? Then we're gonna have one more song. And I hope each and every one of y'all are fighting your way to the other side to go eat chili and soup. Because guess what? You got to beat me there. So I'm super excited. But thank y'all for allowing me to be here today. If you didn't know who I am, my name is Stephen Turner / Reverend Stephen Turner. I've been a member here since 2005, and Dan graciously asked me to preach today. And thank you so much. I will miss y'all coming in January, but I look forward to hearing the great things that y'all are doing. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day.